Hi, welcome to the show again this week. I'm on my own, so unfortunately we haven't got Sam to give you the intros and everything like that. We do want to highlight the disclaimer that this is general information. If you're looking for personal advice, then you can give us a call, book a meeting, and we can talk about your own specific circumstances. The other thing I wanted to highlight with today's one, so what we're talking about this week is the excess deaths that we've seen, or excess mortality rates, and how that's remained really high even after COVID. What does that actually mean for insurers and other sectors of the economy as well? But before I sort of get into that, what I really just want to highlight to people is that this is a topic which genuinely affects people. And we're talking about, I'm going to talk about statistics and the sort of the euphemism of excess mortality. And so the statistics, I just want to highlight that, each base level of these usually relates to a tragedy, and that, I'm going to be talking about lots of excess suicides and cancer and all these other things that are affecting people. And I just want to recognize up front that, that we acknowledge that there are people genuinely affected by this, and I don't want to try and make light of this, and it's certainly not trying to say, how do we profit from this, but it is about saying this is a genuine trend within the world, and how do we position our investments for this trend and seeing how long it goes. So with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and talk about the overview, what's happening to the insurers. What are the sort of longer term trends that we're seeing within this sector, within both the life and the healthcare sector? And then what are the short term issues and how that could be affecting various things? But I'll start with this, the excess deaths. Now, I've got a chart, and it's a little bit chart heavy today, but I'll try and describe the charts for anyone who's listening in via the podcasts. So I've got a chart up just showing 9 of the largest countries in the world, and how a decent number of them have still got this excess deaths coming through. Now, I've scaled this chart so that it doesn't include the worst parts of COVID, because during the worst parts of COVID, these lines jumped up pretty close to 100% for some countries. But just so we can actually see what's going on sort of post-COVID, I've scaled them back. So, and what we can see is that the excess deaths have gone above the line, or above the expected line, and remained above that line for despite the expectation that you'd actually get some give back at some point. Japan in particular, we're noting, has sort of gone from they actually sort of transversed COVID quite well and didn't actually have that many excess deaths relative to other countries, but it's actually been steadily increasing, and you're now at over 20% in terms of Japan. I'm going to come back to that. We'll do a bit of a case study on Japan later on. You can see Australia again; it's been above the excess deaths. It's pulled back a little bit recently, but I think part of that is coming into summer. Germany, we've seen lots of excess deaths there. The US has probably been one of the worst, and still well above 10% in terms of their numbers. And as you go through each of the countries, you can pick a few, say Norway and Sweden, they're actually looking a little bit better. They're pretty close to baseline. By and large, we're looking at large developed countries having this excess death, maintained much longer than expected. And why this is a little bit, why I'm honing in on this is because there was an expectation during COVID that you'd actually get a little bit, you'd get the benefit of the other side of this as well. So I've got a chart just sort of showing a longer term trend line, and then basically a wave that goes above that line and then below that line. And the expectation was that you had a lot of people die during COVID, but actually a lot of these people who died were quite sick already and may well have died in the coming years in the not too future anyway. And so that there would be a bit of a give back. And so to use some analogies, let's say there was 100,000 people who died during COVID, who because of COVID, and you might have looked at those people and gone, well, actually, they were quite sick, We actually expected 200,000 of those people to die every year for the next 3 years or 4 years anyway. And so what that means is it's sort of been a bit of a bring forward. So you go, well, I got 100,000 excess deaths in the first year, and then I had 20,000 fewer deaths the next year, because that's the people that I was already expecting to die. And so you actually get a bit of a pickup for a couple of years after that. Now, that didn't happen. And, what's been driving, and particularly this latest reporting season, as we're talking to and listening to the conference calls from various life insurers, is that these excess deaths are continuing. Life insurers who did suffer from this in terms of making bigger losses than what you would have either expected, they have got to the stage where they're pricing this in as lasting for a much longer period. So some of them have the models going up, expecting basically excess deaths to keep going out until 2030. Certainly that within the pricing, they're expecting these deaths over the next few years to stay elevated. And so what does that mean from an investment perspective is that the danger for when you're investing in insurance companies, regardless of what type of catastrophe you're looking at, is when you get surprises. So if you're looking at you're investing in a general insurance company, and you get a major hurricane come through an area where you're heavily insured, that makes a big difference. It's a surprise you weren't expecting. The average day-to-day, say on cars for accidents and thefts and all that type of stuff, tends to be pretty consistent, and there's really not a lot of movement around that. So the pricing is usually pretty good. You don't get surprised on it. It's more about saying, well, I'm when you get these surprise events. And that's what we're talking about on this life insurance side, is that they've priced in now for a longer term excess mortality. And so if it doesn't come about, if we do get that give back at some point, then these companies are going to do quite well. And I've also got some other sort of longer term trends that I want to talk about, particularly the obesity and driverless cars. But first, I'll just pop up a quick chart sort of showing the performance of the life insurers. Now, that's for anyone watching in, that's the blue line on this chart, and the red line is the broader. So I'm looking at US ones here, the US insurance market versus the US S&P 500. The insurers certainly underperformed quite dramatically as the COVID started, with the quite sensible view that they would be harder hit. Then though the bounce back, they eventually got even with it by the time you got out to 2023. Early 2023 was when we started really seeing this signs and I guess acknowledgement from insurance companies that the excess deaths are really continuing a lot longer than expected, and that's where we saw some real underperformance. And I guess the question from here is, if they've now priced in for the higher ones, does it actually make an opportunity for us? So we might go to a quick message.
We'll be back with the investment insights very shortly. Nucleus Wealth is an active and passive investment manager. If you like what you're hearing and want some help with investing, we can do it for you via our active portfolios. Our tactical and core portfolios use the insights shared in this podcast to construct and manage your investment. We blend tactical portfolios to offer our combinations of international shares, Australian shares, government bonds, and cash. We vary the asset allocation with the goal of protecting your capital in times of market uncertainty. We also have active international and Australian share portfolios. These are chosen using our quality and value investment philosophy. You can find out more at nucleuswealth.com. Now back to the show. Just one more quick thing. We just want to ask you for a simple favor. We want to spread the message about transparency, innovation, and integrity in investing. At Nucleus Wealth, we live and breathe these values. We would love it if you can help us spread that message, and subscribing to our channel will help us do that. We would be most grateful if you can hit the like and subscribe button now.
Right, so we spoke about obesity a couple of weeks back, and so there's a podcast which you can go to that sort of goes into more detail on the obesity drugs. But basically, there's been some quite significant breakthroughs in terms of the obesity drugs, and obesity is a massive health problem. we have these drugs which seem to be relatively safe, and for a lot of it, it's about people not feeling as hungry, and so the actual effect, then is that they lose significant amounts of weight, and so that could easily be a longer term trend that we're looking at that actually improves people's life expectancy. So we can see people live longer because we have fewer obese people around, and then so that, yeah, so that's a trend which we think will occur, and so sits there as a positive for life insurers. Secondly is driverless cars, and so that's a much lower effect than the obesity side, but also the idea that if there is a broad spread take up of driverless cars sometimes over the next sort of 10-20 years, which looks like it's going to be the case, that will most likely result in fewer deaths. And that's, obviously a benefit as well in terms of life expectancy. So we look at those as sort of this longer term trend, which is sort of helping life expectancy and helping the life insurers. Plus you've got higher interest rates now. And so that helps the life insurers as well in terms of their returns. So the real issue we're looking at is there enough of a short-term issue in terms of this long-term, in terms of this, these excess deaths that that's going to overwhelm these longer-term positive effects. And so I guess the question is really, has COVID changed something? So are we at the point where something has genuinely changed within life expectancy, and we're going to see that that life expectancy stay shorter or potentially even get worse? So the investment bet, I guess, is that, look, insurance are pricing these short-term issues into it, and then short-term higher death rates. So if it gets worse, insurers are losing bet. So if we see the death rates spike above what they're expecting, if it doesn't get worse, then we think the obesity drugs will turn an investment into insurers into a winning bet. And you get this sort of maximum upside if we actually have a give back at some time. So those excess deaths we saw, if we then see the other side of that, there's a cohort of the population who are much more susceptible to COVID, and they're still dying over the next little while. And then once that sort of filters out of the system, or if it's the fact that there's been less diagnoses and all these things like that, that filters out of the system and we actually start to see a more of a return to normality and fewer people die, then that turns into a situation that we'd all love to come about. But it also gives you that sort of maximum upside from both healthcare companies healthcare insurers and life insurers. And I guess I'd just note, in terms of the healthcare companies themselves, potentially these are sort of generally a negative in terms of saying healthcare companies will profit more if they've got relatively sick patients who they can keep alive for longer. That sort of is quite profitable for a healthcare company. Whereas if you've got patients who are dying a lot earlier than you expected, that's generally a negative effect on the healthcare system. Negative effect on the healthcare profitability. So I guess it sort of comes back then to what are the likely causes? So that's the part where we need to sort of hone in on is where could we be wrong? What could be happening in these short-term deaths that might actually be something that will extend longer than expected? So there's five sort of likely causes that I've got in there, and there might be others that will happen, over the next little while. But these seem to be the most likely causes at the moment. Is first of all, it's the continued COVID deaths, which are still certainly happening. We have these lack of diagnosis deaths, where because diagnoses were, there was fewer people getting diagnosed during lockdowns, that then led to more people dying of sort of diseases that could have, if they had been caught earlier, would have helped. There's suicide and drug overdoses, or there's some excess deaths from there as well, and potentially the whole idea of the lockdowns actually causing some significant mental problems for people. There's this weakening of immune systems, and so that's the idea that if people have people have had COVID, immune systems weakened, and that therefore I die of the heart disease that actually, if I hadn't have had COVID, my immune system might have managed to give me another couple of years. before that. And then finally, the vaccines. Is it, you know, is there something within vaccines themselves that, that's actually causing, you know, further deaths for people? So I'll start with the, I just want to start with the sort of the key causes of deaths, just so we know that the levels we're talking about. So I've got a chart sort of the US numbers. You can see that, so we've got a heart disease and cancer are your real big killers. So this is talking about weekly data for the US, and it's, you know, ranging between 15,000 and 12,000 and 15,000 per week. And cancer is cancer and heart disease are both pretty similar, but the heart disease is very much seasonal. In that you note that when you go through end of year, so when you hit colder periods, less sunlight, and the death rates really pick up within that. And then you start going through these other ones that are much lower rates. You know, things like accidents is probably your next one. Lower respiratory diseases, Alzheimer's, diabetes, influenza, and kidney disease. Sort of, and sorry, suicides are in there as well. That sort of make up your sort of key causes of death. So, the issue that I want to highlight as well is the age-related part. So this is the part where it probably steers away from this being a vaccine-based, but I'll jump a little bit on that later as well. But I do want to note that in the age-related, and I've pulled out the US as a particular case, but there are broad similarities in other countries, is that the ages 0 to 14, we're actually seeing fewer excess deaths and considerably fewer excess deaths within that group. The ages 15 to 64, lots of excess deaths during COVID, but that's actually reverted back to pretty close to normal. Well, the US one's back to normal now. Other countries, we sort of see similar trends within that. So that sort of key, you know, where you'd expect to be the healthier bracket has certainly come back. Where you're seeing the most of it, most of the excess deaths, is in that ages 65 to 74 and 75 to 84. So it's that's where most of those excess deaths are, running at sort of 20% within the US. And then the ages 85 plus is actually relatively close back to back to its ordinary level. But potentially that's because actually there's a lot of people dying in the previous segment over the last couple of years that then never don't make it to the 85. So the sicker people, just didn't make it to as old. I've got the German deaths, German levels up there, just an example from Europe, that was a little bit different, but you know, I guess broadly showing the same trends. They're actually the 75 to 84 is pretty close to normal, but it's more in the 85s. If you look at Australian figures, you see very similar levels. That 15 to 64 actually never really popped that high for Australia. And the 0 to 14 has been much lower. And so most of the deaths, you know, are again in that 65 to 84 categories. That's what's really causing these excess death rates. So if you look, so I spoke about COVID still being a cause. Look, this is deaths per million in a range of countries. Obviously, it's a lot lower than what it was at the height of the pandemic, but it's not zero. There are still people dying from COVID. We don't read about it anymore because it's no longer the headlines, but you know, significant amount of people in countries are still dying, and very much seasonally as well. So you see a lot more in winter seasons than what you do in summer seasons. So that's one part. The next part is the lack of diagnosis and the lack of healthcare. So I've got a chart from the US just sort of showing breast cancer screening volumes, and you see similar ones for prostate cancer and a range of others. But the idea was that we went through this really low period as we went into lockdowns, where not a lot of people were screened for various cancer systems, and then there was some payback. So post pandemic, we did see a bit of a spike in terms of the number that got tested, but we never made up for the people that were missed, and so that was sort of down about almost 3% for breast cancer. I think prostate cancer was even more than that. I think it was something like 3.5%. And there's a number of surveys as well showing that the actual care that people got during these lockdown periods and post and during the COVID period, there was actually a lot less chemo as well, just on the people who had actually been diagnosed. And so there, I guess there was a push-pull between for doctors about, well, I have somebody who's quite sick. Do I bring them in for chemotherapy and potentially expose them to COVID while COVID's running rampant? Or is it worth, is the risk of not getting some chemo, does that offset the risk of getting COVID if they sort of venture out a bit more? And so, so lack of diagnosis and lack of healthcare certainly did lead to, certainly seemed to lead to higher levels of, to higher death rates. And that is one we'd expect to fade. So yes, there was a period. It's probably going to be excess for a few years now. If you manage to get a diagnosis, if you think about sort of a conveyor belt of people getting diagnoses and then as you're going through getting treated and some beating cancer and then other ones going through it and dying from cancer several years later, getting in there early makes a huge difference. The fact that you missed your chance in 2020 and you didn't catch it until 2022 lowers the rate of survival, and that will then play out for a number of years from that in terms of cancer deaths. So that certainly seems like a genuine cause of it, but fading over time. The next one is this idea of weakened immune systems. Now, I've got a chart up of heart disease. It's actually a little bit hard to read, but so let me talk you through what the idea is. We've got this dotted line, which is the base case of dying if you had heart disease, and then we've got to see these little bars and error ranges of showing the likelihood of dying post-COVID, and they are significantly higher. So the idea basically is that, and I think some of them were sort of 50% higher almost in some of those inflammatory heart diseases and things like that. And so I guess what it is that there's a... This feeds very much into this weakened immune system argument in that you've had COVID, and once you've had COVID, then you have a stroke. Because your immune system's weakened, you actually end up dying of that stroke rather than if your immune system had been a little bit better, you may have survived that or may not have even had a stroke in the first place. And that sort of goes through pretty much all the cardiac different diseases that have got a significant uplift, and then the myocarditis has got the really significant uplift, and that might be related to vaccines. If I look at vaccines themselves, and the excess mortality, if you look by vaccination rate, so this is just one from the US, and it is a little bit old, but it's sort of showing that basically if you came from a state that where lots of people were vaccinated within the US, then you had a much better chance. You had a much lower proportion of excess mortality in some of the states in there with quite high levels of vaccination. Actually were below trend or had zero sort of excess mortality. And then as time went on, though, that line becomes flatter. So at the moment, it's sort of left sloping in terms of. It was very left sloping in terms of yes, vaccination stopped people from dying from COVID. As time went on, that was less and less the case. COVID deaths were less of the overall deaths. Is what's been happening. And so because COVID deaths are a much lower level of all deaths, then that line is flattened out. I guess we're watching that line. If that line goes the other direction, and we start seeing excess deaths go, raise, upwards the more people are vaccinated, then that would be a sign. And that's sort of, I guess, the key sign to look for that the vaccines themselves are causing problems. So it's all these things are potential. I don't want to say vaccines aren't the most likely cause of the excess deaths. There are plenty of rabbit holes on the internet where you can find people that do think that vaccines are of cause of deaths. I guess all I'm saying is right now the statistics to me don't show that they don't suggest that they are, open to the fact that might change over time. But to date, the statistics aren't really showing that. Like, go to a message, Sam.
We'll be back again shortly. If you like what you're hearing but want a low-cost passive option, Nucleus Wealth is the first to offer passive direct indexing in Australia. The first generation of passive investing was index funds. The next gen was ETFs. Now, direct indexing is here with significantly more customization and control. The benefit of direct indexing is you can add or subtract investment themes, and we have almost 100 different options to choose from. For example, you could buy an international share direct index portfolio that excludes fossil fuels and arms manufacturers and has a tilt towards cybersecurity and cloud computing. Alternatively, you could buy a portfolio with no screens and an extra exposure to nuclear power and defense contractors. You can find out more at nucleuswealth.com. Now back to the show.
So what I want to do now, just to run through those same thoughts, but I want to use Japan as a bit of a case study. So I showed the Japan chart at the start, and the thing for Japan was they did really well during COVID relative to other countries. Excess deaths really didn't spike that much. But what we've seen is that the excess deaths have been growing over time, and there sort of seems as they're on this sort of relentless uptrend in a way in terms of the excess deaths. And so I wanted to sort of highlight, because they do have some very good data as well in terms of Japan about where the excess deaths are coming from and what the causes are. So I thought it'd be worth jumping in and honing in on that. So what we're showing here is this chart of the excess of all deaths within Japan. And then there's these lines, green lines that sort of saying that's the typical band, and a dotted line, which is the normal. And then there's all these plus signs or negative signs when we're going over. And so you can see that clearly seasonal pattern. So around December, as things get cold in winter, a lot more people die. And Japan's sort of going from, I think this is a weekly deaths number, and it's sort of going from, going from 20 to 25,000 up to sort of 30,000 in terms of that, the oscillations. And certainly we can see that the excess deaths are getting worse in recent periods. So then if we start jumping into where that's coming from and we look at non-COVID deaths, and again, we can see lots in the non-COVID deaths. So this isn't just a COVID issue that's sort of skewing the numbers, that the non-COVID deaths are certainly a lot higher than before. If we go to the respiratory diseases, respiratory deaths, this is the one where we can see a significant jump in terms of the number of respiratory deaths. So, these numbers are still relatively small overall, because I just want to highlight, we're talking about sort of 10 to 15% of Japanese deaths coming from here, but certainly that excess mortality within those we can clearly see is much higher. And I guess this comes back to that idea again that if you have long COVID, if you've had a COVID and now your immune system's weakened and now you may die of the flu, I'd be more likely to die of the flu because of a weakened system from COVID or lung scarring or something like that. So that's the respiratory diseases. And again, I guess the thought there is that certainly looks to be getting worse than say last year. Is it could that get worse over time? That this long COVID continually causes more people to die of that. And that is potential. But the flip side is that, well, actually maybe having had COVID, for most of the population, having had COVID sometime in that sort of 2020, 2021 period, that the effects will gradually get better. So that, yes, if I had COVID in 2020 and then, well, somebody had COVID in 2020 and then died because they then got the flu in 2022, fewer people then will die in 2023 because they will have recovered. So, an extra year of recovery and then you get to 2024 and now you've had another year again. And so those excess deaths will come off, but, speculation, but it's certainly an area that we'll continue to look at. Then you have circulatory deaths. Again, that's spiked. It has spiked a little bit higher in this most recent year, but it is potentially fading. So potentially that's that idea that we actually had a lot more excess deaths in 2022, and yes, there's been some excess deaths in 2023, but we actually seem to be closer to reverting to trend. Again, one to keep an eye on. Cancer deaths, There's actually not a lot of volatility. You don't get a lot of seasonal volatility in cancer deaths. So, but yeah, that actually seems to be at the moment, we're getting some negative effects in Japan at the moment. So maybe we've come out the other side on that, you know, yet to see, but certainly cancer deaths within Japan are lessening. Senility. So this is dying of old age effectively. And this is where we see the most excess deaths. And so, and this sort of relates back to those charts we were talking about, showing the deaths in the people who are sort of 70 to 85 levels, so it might have been 75 to 85, were elevated around the world. And so, and then there was another graph I showed earlier that was saying there's a lot of deaths that are sort of a little bit unexplained. And so Japan's put them in the senility category, but this is the idea, is that that's where most of the effects are happening. And that's where we are, I guess we're most focused in terms of trying to work out if we're wrong, and that the effects are actually going to get worse over time, then that's the area we need to look at. So I guess there's two theses that might be right. One is that, yes, we've all been hammered by COVID. That's hurt the people who are older worse, and they're going to die earlier because their immune systems have been weakened and everything like that. And but then as your next cohort of people come through who are a bit healthier and it's been longer since they had COVID, or they've got more natural immunity, that they won't have those same levels of excess deaths and we'll go back to the old rates. That's thesis number one. Thesis number two is actually no, COVID has permanently affected people's lifespans and permanently meant that you are more likely to die when you're between whatever the levels were, 70 and 85 or something like that. And so if that's the case, then we can expect the excess deaths to continue to stay high. So yeah, so that's probably our key sort of reading from looking at these Japanese graphs. Suicide rates look certainly spiked higher, and definitely during COVID they were much higher. We've seen that has kept going in terms of it's certainly been more high than not high. Having said that, though, we are talking, I just want to highlight that a number of sort of 400 here, which is, you know, absolutely a tragedy, but we're a fraction of the overall deaths, excess deaths that we're talking about. So, you know, in Japan here, you know, sort of 1% of the numbers. So yes, absolutely a tragedy. We absolutely hope that this, you know, this stuff, the excess suicide was related to things around COVID and will fade, but it's not going to have a major effect on the overall numbers, just because there is a relatively small amount of people within that cohort. So okay, so that's where we're sitting. I'm going to go to the investment view, but before I do that, I just want to highlight, you know, you can pop questions in the chat. We have had sort of a comment from Present Day, just noting that yeah, this is very much worldwide. This is not just an Australia factor. And I'll go to the question of the week is, you know, will excess mortality fade, or are we in the new normal? So this is your chance to have a bit of you know, put in your thoughts in the commentary of the YouTube video, and let us know, you know, some discussion between people about you know, thoughts on which way it could go. And then I'll jump through to the investment view. So we've got this thesis that is saying, we like the idea of health insurers, we like the idea of life insurers, because these obesity drugs do seem like they're revolutionary, are going to dramatically, well, I mean, not dramatically in the first instance, but certainly consistently will manage to take the top off the most obese people in society, and that's going to have some extended longevity. And there's a reasonable chance of some further breakthroughs in this area, because it is a very new new area, and we could continue to see those obesity rates come down. And that's a big net positive for this sector, both healthcare insurance and life insurance. So the danger is there's something in this COVID. We continue to see, or we get a new outbreak. That's what could send this thesis wrong. The idea that the lack of diagnosis-driven deaths will fade over time—that's, you know, that's one of our theses, which I think seems like a reasonable case. But may the, you know, there's a thought maybe we're wrong on that, and maybe these the deaths will get worse before they get better. Suicides and drug overdoses, I think we've highlighted it. Look, we're hoping that it gets better. There certainly has been an epidemic in them, but they are a relatively low number of deaths of the total, and so we're hoping that will fade. But it probably won't make a huge difference to this theme, regardless. And the bigger one is then this idea about the whole weakening of immune systems. The idea that, look, is this a temporary weakening of immune systems because everyone had COVID and the longer it takes, the better? Or has there been a permanent change to people's life expectancies and immune systems? And that's a danger that will that could sort of turn this into a losing bet. I do think from our perspective, we think the odds are that the obesity drugs will at least offset that weakening if it is a genuine weakening in the longer term. We're not sort of making a huge bet on that, but what we are noting more is that life insurance companies have priced this in now as a factor, and so because they're pricing it in, we think the downside is relatively limited. So we would actually probably need another pandemic or some other mass events that really cause these excess deaths in order to make that a losing bet. And so it sort of means your downside is relatively limited, but there is some significant upside if we get the give back, and even if things don't get worse, we think these obesity drugs will actually help the bottom line overall. And then the final one, the vaccines, don't look like they're a candidate at the moment for excess deaths. That might change, and there's certainly lots of people looking for evidence that they will. We'll certainly keep an eye on that. But yeah, you know, for us, it does very much seem to be about the weakening of immune systems, and so that means it looks like a bet that's worth taking. Now, how can you invest in this? So you can go through some insurance tilts within our portfolios. Within our active portfolios, we are investing in these themes. If you've got your own passive investments, you're running a direct indexing strategy through our platform. Basically, what you do is you choose your index, say your international index, you choose how many stocks you want in it, say you want the top 75 stocks globally, and then you can choose to tilt stocks in there. You can get some extra cybersecurity, some extra, whatever else you want. And then you can choose insurance as one of those screens. And then on the other side, you can choose to screen out these stocks, maybe screen out the financials or things like that if you want to take the opposite bet on these ones. Anyway, that's it for now. Thanks for listening in. Hit the like and subscribe button if you're here. It very much helps our show grow, and we'd love to get commentary. Appreciate you listening into the conversation. Hopefully we'll have Sam back next week and he'll be able to do the intro and the outro far more efficiently than I do. Until then, thanks for listening.